All right. Here I am. If you'd have told me I'd be standing here when I first came to this church, I never would have believed you. Here we go. It's good to see you all. You're all family to me, so it's a pleasure to be here, to open God's Word with you, and to look to see what He has to say. This is the day that the Lord has made, and He's brought us here at this time and in this place to hear this message, and it's such an honor and a privilege to be here and to open God's Word. And our focus today revolves around an attitude of gratitude, and everything give thanks. However, before we begin our study, let's take a moment to ponder the lyrics of the song that we've just sung, and really think about what it said in these verses, and then we'll open with prayer. My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in His light and wrote His law of righteousness with power upon my heart. My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, whose every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given by the King. So I will give my life, my all, to love and follow Him. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we do come before You with thankfulness and praise. But Lord, we acknowledge that our hearts are in need of greater thankfulness in every circumstance of our life. May we recall the truths of Your Word as reflected in the lyrics of the Song of Thankfulness. And as we open Your Word to learn more of You, may our hearts be moved to greater gratitude. Prepare the soil of our hearts and give us wisdom and understanding by the work of Your Holy Spirit as we look to Your Word and to You for all things. May Your Word transform our lives as we seek to know Your truth and live in obedience to it. In Your name we pray. Amen. So in God's Word, we're instructed to give thanks, be thankful, express thankfulness in numerous passages. So it was hard to condense this down, and there's a lot of stuff I had to leave out. But we'll begin by looking at a few passages to provoke our thought and stir our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 5:20 we read, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17 we read, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. In Philippians 4:6, we read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In 1 Chronicles 29:13, we read, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And again in Psalm 7:17, we read, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And lastly, Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. For you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. So with those verses in mind, spend some time around your table discussing the questions in the handout. We'll resume shortly. All right. Sounds like there's definitely some great discussion around your tables, and I certainly hate to interrupt any discussion about sharing of gratitude and thankfulness, since that's what this message is about. So I encourage you to finish these conversations with one another after we conclude. But for now, let's move on with our study. So what does it mean linguistically to be thankful? From Merriam-Webster, we see that thankful means conscious of benefit received. And conscious means with awareness. We can see from the passages that we read just a moment ago that this awareness of benefit received should hold a central place in the true Christian life. It's not just a fleeting emotion, but a transformative, sanctifying attitude rooted in recognizing God's sovereignty, his saving grace in our lives, and his faithfulness to keep us, sanctify us, and work all things for our good. Thankfulness redirects our focus from ourself to our sovereign God. Thankfulness fosters humility as we recognize that we can do nothing and have nothing without him. It also fosters contentment as we understand that he provides perfectly for our every need. And this leads us to give thanks through worship and praise as we acknowledge these truths. Ultimately, thankfulness reflects a heart in alignment with God's will, deepening our faith in him and glorifying him in all aspects of our life. Here are the three key aspects of biblical thankfulness that we will consider today that answer some key questions. Why and to whom? Why should we be thankful and to whom? That seems obvious to us, but to most of the world, it's not. We find the answer in our first point, recognition. Thankfulness begins with recognizing and acknowledging God and God's sovereign grace and goodness, and recognizing that every blessing comes from him. James 1:17-18 reads, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be the kind of first fruits among his creatures. Our second question, what and how? What is biblical thankfulness and how should we express our thankfulness? We find the answer in our second point, response. Thankfulness in everything is an inevitable heartfelt response to his sovereignty expressed with joy through worship and praise. The whole of Psalm 100 reads, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Then the third question is how? How do we grow in thankfulness? And how do we encourage others to grow in thankfulness? We find that answer in our third point, reflection. Remembering God's faithfulness and sharing our experiences of his wonders fosters an attitude of gratitude in our hearts and others' hearts. Psalm 9:1-2 reads, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Ultimately, Thankfulness is a recognition of God's sovereign providence in all things and inspires us to a response of spiritual service of worship and praise. And it transforms our attitude as we reflect on and share with others our experiences of His wonders and faithfulness. Let's consider a couple events revealed to us in God's word of thankfulness, in both times of great sorrow and thankfulness in times of great joy. There's an event revealed to us in Scripture that highlights the significance of thankfulness in a time of unfathomable sorrow. It's a familiar story, the story of Job. So let's turn there together. Job 1. And we'll start in verse 13. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job's example of thankfulness in adversity highlights the importance of an unwavering trust in God's sovereignty, in submission to His will, and the glorification of His name in all circumstances. It illustrates that thankfulness is a vital aspect of the true Christian life, reflective of genuine faith and devotion to God, even in the times of our greatest sorrow. Now in the Gospel of Luke, there's an event revealed to us that highlights the significance of thankfulness in a time of great joy. It's the event of Jesus healing 10 lepers. So let's go there together. Luke chapter 17. And we'll start in verse 11. While he, Jesus, was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go, your faith has made you well." This event emphasizes the importance of thankfulness in our life in times of great joy. Jesus pointed out that only 1 out of 10 returned to give thanks. This highlights how easily gratitude can be overlooked, even by those who experienced a genuine miracle by the Son of God. The story serves as a reminder to us to cultivate a heart of thankfulness and to always remember to acknowledge God's blessing in our lives. It also underscores that being thankful is not just a fleeting emotion, but a deliberate choice that honors God and reflects a heart transformed by His grace. As we read and study the entirety of God's Word, we see numerous passages on thankfulness in both the Old and New Testaments, and we find a consistent theme of acknowledging God's sovereign providence, God's goodness, God's mercy, God's grace toward those He has chosen to love. And we see His people responding with a heart full of gratitude and full of praise and worship as they reflect on what He has done for them. So we come to our first question: why should we be thankful and to whom? That answer is in the first key aspect of biblical thankfulness we're going to consider: recognition. Recognizing and acknowledging God and God's sovereign providence in all aspects of life, both physical and spiritual. Our first sub-point here is recognition of God's sovereign providence. The Bible emphasizes God's sovereignty over all of creation and all human affairs. So we're going to look at a few passages that underscore this truth. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10 says, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." In Proverbs 16, verse 9, we read, "The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." In Psalm 103, verse 19, we read, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." In Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, we read, "All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done?" And in Job 42, verse 2, we read, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." These verses collectively portray and unequivocally affirm a God whose sovereign providence governs all things according to his divine plan. This leads us to our second subpoint: recognition of God's sovereign saving grace. The Bible also emphasizes God's sovereignty over our salvation. So let's look at a few passages that underscore this truth as well. In John chapter 6, verse 44, we read, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." In Acts 13, 48, we read, "When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed." In Romans 8, 28, we read, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." In Romans 9, verses 15 through 16, we read, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy." In Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 5, we read, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." In Ephesians 1:11, we read, "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will." In Ephesians 2:8 through 9, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. These biblical passages beautifully illuminate the bedrock truth of God's sovereign saving grace. Together, they form a vivid portrait of God's sovereignty in our salvation. As true followers of Jesus Christ contemplate and meditate on these truths, an overwhelming sense of eternal gratitude and praise wells up within us. So we can see that recognition of God's sovereign providence and saving grace is pivotal in nurturing a heart of true thankfulness. And this perspective encourages us to view all blessings and trials, whether material or spiritual, as expressions of His grace toward us. By acknowledging His sovereignty in creation, human affairs, and our salvation, we shift from a mindset of pride and self-sufficiency to one of humility and awe. We see that every blessing comes from His hand, leading us to an attitude of gratitude. We should seek to live lives in constant awareness of God's providence and grace as He works all things for our good. As we grasp the depth of God's sovereign goodness and saving grace, our hearts will be prepared and our love for Him drawn out to respond in worship and praise, in service, and a lifelong attitude of gratitude. This recognition becomes the foundation upon which we build a life of thankfulness, humility, and dependence on God's unchanging love for us. So let's briefly delve a little deeper into the discussion in discussing the concept of God's sovereignty and saving grace and how it relates to thankfulness. The truth of God's sovereignty and His saving grace is intrinsically connected to the practice of thankfulness. Understanding these truths deeply shape how we approach gratitude in our life. The sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty, emphasizing His supreme authority and control over all aspects of creation, is the cornerstone of a truly thankful heart. It encompasses His complete governance over blessings, challenges, trials, moments of great sorrow, and every intricate detail of our lives. Recognizing God as the ultimate source of every good and perfect gift reinforces His sovereignty. Our gratitude stems from acknowledging that all blessings flow from His providence. Understanding that God's sovereignty extends to challenging and sorrowful circumstances and trials instills in us an attitude of trust and gratitude. Even in the face of adversity, we trust His plan and find reasons to be thankful. Embracing God's sovereignty humbles us, acknowledging His wisdom and our dependence on Him for every provision. This humility is the core of a thankful heart as we recognize our reliance on His grace and provision in all circumstances. Saving grace. Understanding this concept of saving grace is pivotal in cultivating a genuinely thankful heart. It's through God's sovereign grace, saving grace, rather than our own efforts that we find salvation. This grace is undeserved and unearned, underscoring God's proactive role in our redemption. Ephesians 2:8 through 9 illuminates that our salvation is the result of grace through faith, not by our deeds. This unearned salvation serves as a gift, emphasizing God's deliberate choice to bestow grace upon us. God's saving grace goes beyond mere salvation. It transforms us from sinners to saints. This powerful transformation showcases His mercy and love, becoming both a foundational reason for our gratitude and a significant means through which we continually grow in thankfulness. In summary, a biblical perspective on thankfulness involves embracing and acknowledging God's sovereignty over all things, including blessings and trials, and also recognizing that our salvation is solely by His grace through unmerited favor. This understanding shapes a profound and eternal gratitude that transcends circumstances and becomes a consistent response to God's sovereign goodness. Thankfulness rooted in God's sovereignty and saving grace leads, therefore, to worship, praise, obedience, and a transformed heart. So we come to our second question: what is biblical thankfulness, and how should we express our thankfulness? That answer is in the second key aspect of biblical thankfulness, which is a heartfelt response to his sovereignty, his infinite grace, and his infinite love that provides for our every need, physically and spiritually. Our first subpoint here is in everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Colossians 3, 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Bible emphasizes the importance of giving thanks in all aspects of life for all things, revealing it as God's will for believers in Christ Jesus. Overall, these verses collectively call for a life marked by a pervasive and grateful acknowledgement of God's goodness and grace to us. Our second subpoint, worship and praise. Now therefore, 1 Chronicles 29:13 says, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. And Isaiah 25:1 reads, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. For you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. The scriptures highlighted in this section with focus on worship and praise resound with a spirit of thanksgiving and exaltation towards God. Together, these verses emphasize the integral role of worship and praise in expressing our thankfulness, calling us to honor and glorify God with grateful hearts and voices. Responding to God's goodness with gratitude through worship and praise is a reflection of a transformed heart. By expressing thankfulness, we honor God's sovereignty and align our lives with his will and purposes. So let's now briefly delve a little deeper into the discussion and concept of giving thanks in everything with worship and praise. In everything, give thanks. The biblical directive to give thanks in everything is a profound command. It challenges us to maintain an attitude of gratitude, not just during the good times, but also amidst the challenges and trials. This is a mark of genuine faith. Acknowledging God's sovereignty and trustworthiness regardless of circumstances. Even in difficulties, we can give thanks, knowing that God is in control and has a purpose in everything. When we bring our concerns and requests to God with thanksgiving, we demonstrate our faith and reliance on him. This aligns us with his will, acknowledging his grace in our lives. Gratitude, giving thanks, should be our default disposition, influencing our prayers and outlook on life. Worship and praise. Worship and praise are essential responses to God's goodness and grace. When we offer thanks and praise to God, we are recognizing his attributes, his faithfulness, and his work in our lives and in the world. When we praise God's name, we are acknowledging and exalting his character and attributes. God is worthy of praise for who he is. We give thanks and praise to God as we acknowledge and appreciate his righteous actions and providence. One of the fundamental aspects of worship is recognizing God's goodness to us. When we come to him in prayer, study his word, or gather together as a church, we should come into God's presence with thanksgiving and praise. As we enter his presence, we should do so with hearts full of gratitude, acknowledging his greatness. Worship and praise are not just about singing songs. They're an attitude of reverence and adoration for God. It involves acknowledging God's goodness, mercy, and grace, and responding with awe and appreciation. Genuine thankfulness naturally leads to worship and praise as it originates from a heart transformed by God's grace. When we truly recognize and appreciate his salvation and blessings in our life, this recognition fuels our desire to to respond in ways that honor him. Genuine thankfulness is rooted in recognizing God's love and his gracious actions in saving us. This recognition naturally leads to worship as we acknowledge his worthiness and respond with adoration, praise, and awe. Gratitude draws us into God's presence, prompting us to glorify him through our words, thoughts, and deeds. In summary, thankfulness expressed through worship and praise reflects a heart transformed by God's grace. It aligns us with God's will, honors his character, who he is, and leads to a deeper love for him. This response of gratitude should permeate every aspect of our lives, reflecting our understanding of God's infinite grace and love towards us in all things. So we come to our third question. How do we grow in thankfulness? And how do we encourage others to grow in thankfulness? That answer is in the third key aspect of biblical thankfulness, which is in reflection. We reflect on and share what God has done, both in our own lives and what he has revealed in Scripture. Our first subpoint here is remembering God's faithfulness. Psalm 77, verses 11 through 12. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Psalm 105, verse 5. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. Psalm 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the works of your hand. Our second subpoint here is telling others. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. Psalm 77, verses 15 through 16. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praise to him, speak of all his wonders. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Isaiah 12, verses 4 through 5. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. A continual practice of reflection on God's faithfulness and sharing it with others is a crucial aspect in nurturing and growing a heart of thankfulness. Reflecting on past experiences of God's faithfulness boosts our faith and hope. It reassures us that he remains constant and dependable in all circumstances. Sharing stories of God's faithfulness not only strengthens our own faith, but also impacts those around us. By recounting his works, we inspire others to trust in his providence. Just as the Israelites set up memorials for their children, we can pass down stories of God's faithfulness to future generations. This legacy of gratitude cultivates a heart of thankfulness in our families. Reflection on God's faithfulness is a means to humble ourselves before his sovereignty and remind ourselves of his unwavering love. As we reflect on his past acts, our hearts are stirred to deeper appreciation for his grace and a commitment to live in gratitude and obedience to him. Again, let's briefly delve a little deeper into discussing the importance of looking back on God's past provision and deliverance. Here's why this continual practice is significant. One, it strengthens faith. Continual practice of reflecting on instances where God has provided, protected, and delivered in the past bolsters our faith. It reminds us of his unfailing love and sovereignty over our lives, giving us confidence that he will continue to care for us in the present and future. 2, cultivating gratitude, a continual practice of recalling God's past provision and deliverance, stirs gratitude within us as we remember how he has met our needs and guided us through challenges. Our hearts are filled with thankfulness for his unwavering faithfulness. 3, humbling ourselves. Looking back on God's actions humbles us before his majesty and power. It reminds us that we are dependent creatures, utterly reliant on his grace. 4, encouraging worship. The remembrance of God's past provision and deliverance naturally leads to worship. When we contemplate his goodness, we are moved to express our adoration, praise, and reverence for his character and providence. 5, guiding present decisions. Reflecting on God's past guidance and deliverance helps us trust him in the present. It provides the comfort of knowing and trusting that he has guided us before and he will continue to do so. 6, providing testimony. Sharing stories of God's past provision and deliverance becomes a powerful testimony to others. Our experiences of his faithfulness can inspire and encourage those who are facing similar challenges or seeking to grow in their faith. 7, building fellowship. Sharing stories of God's faithfulness strengthens the bonds of fellowship. As believers come together to recount his works, they foster an environment of encouragement and shared gratitude. Overall, looking back on God's past provision and deliverance serves as a constant reminder of his grace, leading us to a life characterized by trust, gratitude, humility, and worship. It encourages us to continually remember and testify to God's faithfulness. However, after expressing these thoughts, I can personally attest, based on my own journey, that this form of biblical thankfulness, much like biblical love, biblical patience, biblical forgiveness, and all other godly attributes, is utterly beyond our reach without his intervention and his strength. In the genuine Christian life, everything is by him and through him, and we have no hope of responding in authentic and heartfelt thankfulness, as the scriptures teach, without him. It all begins with his work of salvation. He transforms us from death to life, from darkness to light, and this transformation continues through his ongoing process of sanctification. As the scriptures affirm in Philippians 1:6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." And Romans 8, verses 28 through 30. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Therefore, continue to look to him, even when your sense of thankfulness fails in times of trials, or when you're negligent to thank him for a joyful blessing. Remember that his love for his two children is greater than we can imagine. So don't be discouraged or disheartened. Instead, run to him and find boundless mercy, grace, and strength in him. He remains faithful to provide all you need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude and to be able to give thanks to him in everything. So as we go through this day and this week, I want to encourage each of you to take a moment to reflect on your personal experiences of God's faithfulness. Remembering God's providence and testifying to his goodness is not only a practice, but a way of cultivating a heart of thankfulness and deepening our faith. Consider the moments in your life when you felt the weight of challenges pressing upon you, and yet God provided a way. Think about the times when you weren't certain about the path ahead, and God's guidance became clear.
Recall the instances when you faced trials that seemed insurmountable, and God's deliverance proved his unfailing love for you. Reflect on the moments when you experienced his grace, particularly his saving grace, but also his provision and his mercy. These personal encounters with God's faithfulness are not mere memories, but testimonies that strengthen our faith. They're reminders of his sovereignty, his love, and his constant faithful presence in our lives. In sharing these stories with one another, we create a tapestry of God's faithfulness that inspires and uplifts. Your testimony might be the very encouragement someone else needs in their own life. So let's take the time to reflect on our personal experiences of God's faithfulness. As we are led, share them with your fellow brothers and sisters. As you do so, remember the words of Psalm 9:1. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Let's allow our hearts to overflow with gratitude as we recall his wonders and praise his name. May our shared reflections be a testament of God's unchanging character and his faithfulness that transcends time. May they build up our lives in Christ and inspire us to continue growing in thankfulness and faith, knowing that the God who has been faithful in the past will be faithful in every season of our lives. In conclusion, we've delved into the inseparable connection of how acknowledging God's sovereignty and comprehending his saving grace leads to a response of gratitude in every circumstance through worship and praise, and how it involves the ongoing habit of recalling God's faithfulness and actively sharing it with others to ultimately nurture and grow a growing attitude of gratitude. So here are the key points that we discussed. We cultivate an attitude of gratitude through 1, recognition of God's sovereign providence and saving grace. Thankfulness begins with recognizing that every good and perfect gift comes from God's sovereign hand, and our salvation is a result of God's sovereign saving grace, emphasizing his initiative and unearned favor. 2, a response of gratitude in all circumstances through worship and praise. We are called to a life marked by a pervasive and grateful acknowledgement of God's goodness and grace, regardless of our circumstance. Genuine thankfulness naturally leads to worship and praise as we respond to God's goodness by acknowledging his worthiness through adoration, praise, and awe. 3, reflection of continually remembering God's faithfulness and sharing it with others. Reflecting on God's faithfulness reinforces our faith, cultivates gratitude, and humbles us before his providence. Sharing stories of God's faithfulness impacts others, nurturing a heart of thankfulness and inspiring future generation. Through God's sovereign providence, saving grace, unwavering faithfulness, and boundless mercy, we discover the ultimate reason to cultivate and express a heartfelt attitude of gratitude, leading us to give thanks in everything. Our aim is to glorify and honor him in all that we do and in every circumstance. So let's close in prayer, and then you'll be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you with hearts growing in gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord, we are humbled by your sovereign goodness and overwhelmed by your unwavering love. As we reflect on your word and the journey of cultivating thankfulness, we're reminded of your faithfulness that endures forever. Lord, we thank you for the countless blessings you bestow upon us daily, for the provision of our needs, for the relationships that enrich our lives, for the moments of joy, and even the trials that draw us closer to you. We give thanks. You are the source of all good things, and your grace sustains us in every circumstance. We're grateful, Lord, for your saving grace that rescues us from sin and darkness. Thank you for the cross of Christ, where your love and justice met. Help us never to take for granted the price you paid for our redemption. May the awareness of your mercy lead us to lives of obedient service, reflecting our deep appreciation for your sacrifice. Father, as we close this time of reflecting and learning, we are moved to respond. Stir within us hearts that overflow with thanksgiving. May our actions, our words, and our thoughts be infused with gratitude for who you are and all that you've done. Empower us to walk in obedience, to serve others with love, and to live out our thankfulness. May our lives be a testimony to your faithfulness, drawing others to seek the source of our joy and peace. And may we commit to keeping our hearts attuned to your goodness, to intentionally express our thanks in our prayers, conversations, and daily actions. We ask for your guidance and strength in this endeavor. In your name we pray. Amen.